So this is a third in a three-part homily series where I've been reflecting these past 3 weeks on what it means to be Christian and American. And the inspiration of this was based on the sense of patriotism or pride in country that has been decreasing in the last 20 years, and most especially among younger Americans. 20 years ago, there was a sense of pride in country among younger Americans, but 20 years later, it's more likely a young person is going to be either ambivalent or kind of not pleased, right? And so to speak to that, that's what I've been focusing on in these homilies these last 3 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, Jesus talks about nothing that is concealed will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be made known. And in that, I talked about not only the secrets of our personal pasts, but the quote-unquote secrets of our country's past, things that we would rather forget. But in that, I invited us to consider that when we look at the past with honesty, it's not to make us feel bad all over again, whether it's the past of our country or the past of our own personal lives. No, I believe that when we look at the past with the Lord, God can bring healing. God can bring healing. Our nation's past, our own past. When we invite the Lord into that, to be honest. And then last week, Jesus said, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And I invited us to consider, wow, Jesus is making a bold claim that only God can make. He's not inviting us to cast off mom or dad, but to put that love in a proper place. But in that love also comes love with country, that God blesses us through our country, whether we know it or not. And so we can be appreciative of that, even if we have an ambivalent relationship with our country. All right. So this gospel today, I'm going to focus on three words: honesty, praise, connection. Honesty, praise, and connection. Now at the end, for those of you who are visiting, I'm going to ask you which of these words stands out the most to you. And you can pray with that for the rest of the Mass. Okay, honesty. So beautiful in today's gospel that Jesus reveals his heart. Jesus reveals his heart. I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Jesus reveals his heart. So that's very beautiful, the honesty of our Lord, and not just in the good times, but also in the difficulties. Jesus on the cross is very honest with that pain and abandonment. Okay? Honesty is critical in any relationship. We know this intuitively. Okay? But just, I would suggest it's essential if we're going to have any closeness to God. I read a chapter from a book by Carmelite Father Wilfred Stinnison. He wrote a book called The Holy Spirit, Fire of Divine Love. And in this chapter, he talks about the necessity to be naked before God. That is to be vulnerable to be God, to be open and honest with the Lord. He writes this: this openness and availability can be described as confessional attitude. It's not about examination of conscience or self-analysis. The emphasis is on God and not myself. A confessional attitude means that one does not hide oneself, does not avoid God's gaze, but rather exposes oneself to him voluntarily out of love. One lets oneself be seen and exposed. And then Father Stinnison, he points out three apostles who were so honest with God that it was scandalous to us. That is Peter's denial, Thomas's confession of doubt, and the ambition of the sons of Zebedee. Father Stinnison writes, these are open and visible. They live in an internal confessional attitude, not only before God, but also before the church. Let us not imagine they are sad that we see their sin, their weakness. They are glad that so many can know that they have been washed in God's mercy. Good, good, good. Okay, and the next thing is by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, he wrote a fairy tale called Till We Have Faces. And in this story of this journey of this woman, and at one point she feels wronged by the gods. And so what she does, she stands before the gods and she gets an audience with them and she verbalizes her complaints. She verbalizes her anger. She yells at them for how they have mistreated her. And when she's finished, she goes through it again. She just goes and pours on her heart how she's felt abandoned and all these things. And then she says this. She says this, "I understand now why the gods do not speak to us openly, nor let us answer. Till that word can be dug out of us, why should they hear the babble that we think we mean? How can they meet us face to face? Till we have faces." C.S. Lewis explains this. The ideal was that a human being must become real before it can expect to receive any message from God. That is, it must be speaking with its own voice, not one of its borrowed voices expressing its actual desires. And I share that because it's very easy in Christian world to put on your church face. Here, oh, everything's good. To put on your church face before God. To think that you have to sanitize your real emotions, your real feelings. And you can't bring certain anger to God. You can't bring certain frustration. And you can't bring certain despair to God. It has to be clean and sanitized. But I believe there's a value in being open and honest. Because the same Lord who says, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth," is the same Lord who says from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He quotes Psalm 22 because that's how it felt. Okay. So honesty is important, right? And I believe one of the struggles many Americans have with being American in today's age is the same struggle of why many people resist religion. And that is because there are many professed Christians who don't act like Christians. And likewise, there are many politicians or leaders in our government who say one thing and do another, and they are not honest. And so, yeah, we need a conversion to honesty. But how can we expect those of others if we're not being honest ourselves? How can we expect our leaders if we're not willing to do it ourselves? Okay, so honesty, that's the first thing. The second is praise. We hear that in the psalm, "I will praise your name forever, my King and my God." And Jesus himself says, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." That's his open and honest prayer. And as Catholics, I think this is something we struggle with, and I share that because I've struggled with that. I had a revelation earlier this year about this thing we pray called the Gloria. You know, at the beginning of Mass, it's the same thing we pray. And for me, I've had a kind of like, I don't know about this thing. Because for me, it was always about the music. Do I like the music or do I not like the music? Do I like this setting or do I not like this setting? Do I like this version or do I not like this version? So it was always about the music. Until earlier this year, a light bulb went off. And I think the Lord said, "Hey, what if you just stop and pray the words?" I was like, "Oh, I can do that." And so, like, it happened on a Sunday Mass, and I was so inspired, I wanted to change my homily, but I saved it until today. If you just focus on the words of the Gloria, it's a beautiful prayer of praise. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill." That's from Luke chapter 1, quoting the angels. "We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. You alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father." If you enter into that prayer, it'll be so much better. And that's my theory. My theory is that if we grow in our ability to praise God, we'll be able to see more of God's goodness. If we can grow in our ability to praise and not just say, oh, thank you, God, when I feel like it, but to say, all right, God, you have given me so much in the last 24 hours, 99.9%, I don't realize, I don't care, you know, but you are still blessing me. I praise you, God. Glory to God in the highest. Okay. And that goes back to a theme I mentioned last week. God has blessed you in relationships that you don't realize. It's very easy in a relationship when you're living with mom and dad to see what you don't have. It's a lot more difficult to recognize how mom and dad have blessed you for our children still living at home. Similarly, in our country, it's very easy to look at the defects because it's very popular right now. It's very easy to look at what is wrong with our country, to complain. I believe the Lord doesn't give Christians to the world to be complainers, but to be lights. Jesus said, you are the salt, you are the light of the world. And so, God has blessed you and me through our country, whether we know it or not. And if you just start in praising God, thank you, God, for this place where I can be in relative safety. Thank you, God, for this place where I can enjoy these freedoms. Thank you, God, that I can be in this place where you want to bless me. And I believe that because God believes in community so much that he chooses an imperfect community to gather his people, right? And the church, it's not a museum for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And likewise, our country. I believe our God likes the idea of a country getting people together, because that's what God does. And it's our weakness that we scatter. It's our weakness that we divide families and such. Okay. But I think praise can help us receive the blessings God wants for us to grow in praise. And finally, this last word, connection. Jesus invites us. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. And he says, this is mysteries revealed not to the wise and the learned, but to the childlike. So we are invited to be like children who are connected, because a child can't help but be connected. A child cannot survive without connection. It's only when we are older that we learn self-sufficiency, which is not of God. Self-sufficiency. Okay. So that's the invitation. Which of these? Oh, that last point on connection. Fulton Sheen, he wrote a provocative book right before the Second World War called Declaration of Dependence. Declaration of Dependence. And what if? God is desiring to have a renewal, a revolution of connection through our Christian communities. What if the Lord is desiring of that in a world where so many feel disconnected, to start with the Christian communities? To bring that transformation to our country. Why not? Right? Every revolution starts somewhere. Let's pray. Which of these you want to pray with? Honesty, praise, or connection? Let's pray that we may be open to the Lord who is honest with us, following his example of praise, so we may know what it means to be connected to our God and to each other. Amen.